Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I can't believe it. Like, seriously, another season in the books? It's pretty incredible.
Every time I wonder if you're gonna forget to say it, and you never do. You never forget to say it.
No,
always it's in the books.
No, it's in the book. Another season in the books.
Another season in the floppy disk.
We in the found floppy disk. Yes. Another one. I just have a question. Like, you're a couple years younger than me. Did you have any exposure to Le Floppy Disk?
Not really, because I feel like by the time I was using computers, like nothing I was doing on a computer at the age floppy disks were a thing. I never needed a floppy disk for anything. Like, it feels like very businessy to have a floppy disk.
Well, they had they were games on the floppy disks.
See, by the time I was playing games, it was CD-ROMs.
Yeah, this is the difference. This is why, like, I'm like literally 3 years older than you, I think, like, or two. And this is, it's pretty incredible how our generation evolved with technology. Like, we really saw so many different iterations. Like, when I remember one of my first experiences with a computer, it was like, you turn it on, the screen was black, and then you can type. For whatever reason, I don't know why you would type. It's not like you were in Word. You could just type, and the letters were like green.
Yeah, it's like Lost, like when they were typing in the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know.
You haven't seen Lost, yeah.
No.
Or like a DOS-based system. Yeah, yeah. It's very. Sarah just made a face. It's DAAS. I think it's DAAS or something. I believe it's what George R. R. Martin uses to write his He's not really writing anything right now, but you know what I mean. Anyway,
Also, to not get like distracted.
I think that's the point. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's very stripped bare. Like, there's nothing else. He can't go on social media and, you know, whatever, right. Blog posts about how a television show that he's involved with. Anyway, I have a question. We're already off track, so we might as well stay off track for another minute. Did you get your eyebrows done recently? This is like such crappy question for a podcast, but I'm looking at them and they look different. They look like a different color almost.
Yeah.
Did you get them done?
Yeah. I went to the eyebrow lady and we did my eyebrows. We like waxed.
Do you get them threaded? What do you do?
No, I get them waxed because I have tried threading. It literally hurt worse than my tattoo.
That's excessive. I bet
I'm serious.
Does it take longer than waxing? Is that why? It's just more prolonged pain. Whereas waxing is kind of like a shriek and you're done.
Yeah, I think that could be it. Yes, you're right. She did put a eyebrow tint on my eyebrows. I wasn't really like, I mean, this happens a lot in my life. Like, I'm not like a willing participant when it comes to things. I just get like dragged into things.
Janine. Is this lady like a Janine where she's like, actually, you need this? And you're like, oh, but, and she's like, no, you need this.
Yes. It's exactly like Janine. And she was just like, yeah, like we're going to do like the tint. And like, I thought that I just signed up for regular eyebrows, but, and then the last time I got my eyebrows done, like it was a different tint. So it didn't last long. And then like the next thing I know,
now gotten your eyebrows tinted twice.
But the first time it wasn't noticeable. This time it's very noticeable. It was like, okay, so I'm going to get my eyebrows tinted. And she was like, I'm going to do a light brown. I didn't authorize that. If there was like a dark blonde option, I would
do that. Yeah, because it's almost like a very warm, it's like a, almost dark. Has like a reddish undertone. Again, this is all dark. Via camera. So like it could be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly how it looks in person, but.
Yeah. Well, okay. So like when I first got them done, I was like podcasting for previously on Shameless. And my dear partner, like, I don't know if he didn't realize it because he's just not that observant and that type of thing, or if he was just being kind, but it was horrifyingly ugly because they were like darker very than they dark. Are now, yeah. darker than they are now, and then very blocky. And I would look at myself and I was like, I wonder if Todd can like our friend Todd, who I was podcasting with previously on, I wonder if he noticed because I was having a particularly like ugly day. I'm like, I am so fucking ugly because like my eyebrows were black. They were like very blocky. Next time I'm hoping it fades because essentially like it's like she dyed my eyebrows like she says it was a light brown color, but I don't know. I feel like my brows are darker than yours.
I mean I think they're warmer than mine. Like they just almost have like a red undertone, at least in the camera, like the camera view. I don't do almost anything to I pluck my eyebrows and then that's the extent of my time spent on my eyebrows.
So I'm going to have to talk to this lady. I don't even know her name and just be
this is why I hate stuff like this, where you like, this is why I am so hesitant to ever change like hairdresser, like a thing where you have like a very you moved, like you have to find a new person, but this is why it's so difficult to do that, because once you establish a relationship, there's just like an understanding between you of like what it is that you want, and there's trust built. So you can just switch someone and then they don't magically know what you want, and they may think you want one thing, and then you're sitting in the chair and you're like, I don't want this at all, but I can't say anything because it's already happening.
I am having like a little bit of like growing pains with that because the last time I went to her, I didn't have the dark eyebrow issue, but she did make them thinner. And I was really happy because like
were they spermy?
I mean, like they were fine. They weren't spermy, but they were thinner than I'm used to. Yeah. And then this time around, she was like, oh, like we're going to make them thicker this time. I'm like, perfect. She remembers, like, that's good. She like takes in like good criticism.
Yeah.
But then she made them dark. So, and then with my hair girl that I had to get, I just feel like that tone is off too. So I'm having like a very like particularly ugly couple months because also I have like this drama with my tooth crown and that makes me very depressed. So I feel like a fucking toad. And My therapist is like really pulling the weight to make sure that I don't like jump off the bridge.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, there's no local bridges, which is probably a good thing.
It's good. There's no high mountains, really. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm probably okay.
Really, I don't know. Like, do you ever have like just like ugly months or like maybe ugly days?
Yes, but I think it hits me more. I have uglier mental health days than I do like where it's less about my physical appearance and more about like, oh my God, like, why can't I get it together today? Like, why is everything so overwhelming today?
Yeah.
Cause like there's moments like that and sometimes it's no reason. And that's just how anxiety is sometimes, but it pisses me off because I'm a logical person. And so if there's a reason I should be upset, then it's like, I'm kind of okay that I'm upset because it's logical. It makes sense. If there's no reason why I'm upset and I'm upset, I'm like, what's happening right now? Why is this happening?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, I'm just having these feelings because I'm just like ugly. So that's why.
I do not think you're ugly.
I'm pretty ugly.
I think you're very specific in what you like in terms of your own style. And I feel like if you're not fitting into those like boxes that you want to be in, then I feel like you just get like very down about it.
I do get very down about it. That's true. Yeah. I like was talking to oh my God, this is so like, oh, like everybody's probably like, you stupid bitches, just talk about Buffy season two.
We're getting there.
I can't possibly talk about Buffy season two when I look like a fucking toad.
Well, the good news is we're not on video, so no one can see you anyway.
I literally look like the Some Assembly acquired man. That's what I look like.
Okay, I need to Google this.
You don't remember.
Assembly required.
How dare you?
No, how am I supposed to know who that is?
That's literally like season two, episode two of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I don't remember any of this.
It's the episode where there was like the guy and he was like stealing girls to make a girlfriend for his brother.
Oh, I hated that. Yes, and like Frankenstein sort of guy.
Yeah, yes. and the brother was just like such an uggo because he was dead and somehow like they weird.
Yeah, it was tragic.
And I was like, yeah, that's how I look. I look so ugly because of my tooth and my eyebrows and my hair and everything.
I don't think your hair looks that different.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's blonde. Like, it's not like you came on screen and I was like, oh my gosh, like what happened to your hair?
I know. I'm just like in a funk about it. And like, I think like now I'm just like, oh no, like my eyebrows.
No, I don't think they looked different, not bad.
Different.
Yeah, that's all.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway,
maybe we should talk about Buffy because we're here to talk about season two. We're wrapping season two up before we charge on into season three. And as we normally do, we're here to present some character breakdowns, some rankings, some MVPs and LVPs, some of our favorite episodes and our least favorite episodes. And of course, we have to talk through the predictions that we made last season and see if we were correct about any of them. And I feel like this is it's like an extra special one because season two, I feel like people love season two. This is like a big deal for people. Season two, a lot of things happen. A lot of change happens from, you know, the beginning to the end. Like there's a lot going on with this season. Let's jump in. Let's talk through some of these characters, Sarah. Some of them have better seasons than others. Buffy really goes through it this season. Like she's having a tough time this season.
Yeah, I kind of forgot. I started watching the season over again a little bit as a reminder. And I forgot that we came in with episode one of season two when she was bad. And she was in a funk after Daddy Vamps died. Like, just like me, I also was in a funk when my dad died. So I understand.
So similar.
Yeah, it's very similar. No, I was kind of making comments in the last episode where I was like, gosh, like, I don't want Buffy to like go through stuff. Like, I like it when she's like funny and spunky. And I was like, after watching episode one, I was like, actually, I really liked a darker Buffy. Like, I really liked her in that episode. And she was, I know a lot of the times we get feedback that she was like mean. She was a darker Buffy and I actually enjoyed that. Now, throughout the season, I think that she has to, I mean, we deal with a little bit of like the backlash of first losing, having to like dying, she died, and mm-hmm. she had to deal with like being, dealing with the fact that, you know, she came across like a vampire and she was like defeated. Obviously she realizes she meets, I mean, that's her real name, but what's the other Slayer's name again? I'm like totally spaced.
Oh, Kendra.
Kendra, thank you. We meet Kendra and she's like, wait, like maybe I can have an out. And then of course, like the probably the biggest storyline of the season is she lost her V card, which I'm really happy for her. Good for you. But in turn, she made Angel like rage out and like lose his soul.
Yeah, she fucked the soul right on out of him.
She fucked the soul right out of him. And that was horrible because then he was like a mean guy again. And then ultimately, like, she loses a lot of people. She loses Jenny. She loses other people that I don't remember. And then finally, she has
Kendra.
She loses Kendra. And then finally, she winds up having to kill her boyfriend and then runs away. And then she, like, also has to tell her mom. So it's, like, it was very much, like, a very transformative season for her where she definitely had a lot to go through. And, like, she really did have to lean on her friends. Like, I'm thinking to Halloween
yes.
where she was down and out. Like, she was the one that was transformed, and she had to rely on Willow and Cordelia, and I guess Giles, to save everybody. And she definitely had to like lean on like Giles when his friend came around, you know, that guy, that demon guy.
Yeah, who called him Ripper. I can't remember the demon guy's name, but Ripper is, yeah, Giles.
So, like, there was definitely times where she had to lean on her friends. And she still, by the end of the season, feels like she has to do it all on her own. Which,
yeah,
I feel as though, like, that is going to be her ultimate, like, evolution. Like, realizing that she can't do everything on her own. She needs to lean on her support system. A great lesson to learn for everybody. I feel like that's a good lesson for you to learn, who is more like of a
control freak. Yeah.
I didn't want to say that, but
that's exactly what I am though. I totally agree with you. And it was something I was thinking about when I was thinking about Buffy's journey, is how interesting it is that when we meet Kendra the first time, that's a big lesson for Buffy, is that Kendra was used to slaying all on her own. She didn't have this support system. And that is something that Buffy has. That is a huge advantage for her, is having this group of Scoobies who are willing to help her and she can lean on them. And yet, after she learns that lesson, it still doesn't like fully sink in, because by the end of the season, she makes the same mistake again. And while I think that that's something that feels true to like any teenager or any human, really, like, it's going to take more than one time to like fully have something like that sink in. I mean, I'm in my 30s. It's something I still struggle with, you know, like, this is a thing that a lot of people struggle with, especially when Buffy is the Slayer and like her involving other people puts them in mortal peril. You know, this is a life or death situation. So I really loved that for Buffy this season, having her growth go through some of these things, these trials and tribulations that she's had to deal with, and kind of realizing that she does need to lean on her support system at times. I think it really, the whole thing with Angel turning into Angelus and like her fucking the soul out of him, I think that really, really hindered her ability to kind of, it felt like she had a storm cloud following her around after that happened, and she really couldn't get her head on straight, because she wasn't just slaying any old vampires at that point. She's constantly in the back of her mind worrying about Angelus coming after her, her having to get the willpower to kill him. Like, that's a big deal. It's her boyfriend. It's her ex-boyfriend. You know, like, there's a lot going on, all while she's still trying to hide this from her mom. Like, her mom still doesn't know until the very, you know, end of the season. So Buffy really went through it. I feel like she had a difficult season. Probably things will only get more difficult from here. But I do think throughout this season, she's had some really interesting lessons to learn and like some big takeaways. And I was happy to see certain episodes, the show letting other people shine or like take center stage, take control. Like you brought up, Halloween is the perfect example of something like that happening where, I mean, we can kind of talk a little bit about Willow here. Willow is the one, Willow and Giles are the ones to kind of really take control. And I loved seeing that. We are huge fans of the character of Buffy, and like, she's a badass, right? Like, we've had her at the top of our character rankings every time for good reason. I was really happy to see Willow take center stage a little bit over a few of these episodes and have her kind of find, like, I don't know, an improved self-esteem and like kind of finding what she's good at. I think the whole thing where her having the crush on Xander, like, that really, she, you know, that was tough to watch because you want to yell at her and like shake her and be like, no, you are worth so much more, Willow. Like, you deserve better. You deserve to be with someone who wants to be with you and realizes how great you are. And I was so happy to have her meet Oz this season. Like, it really, and obviously that's not everything. And I'm happy that it wasn't everything. Like, we saw her be strong without Oz. It wasn't like she needed Oz to prop her up. It was more so he enhanced what was already there. And he kind of like, there were moments, I'm thinking like when she wants to make out with him and he's like, I feel like you're trying to make this other guy jealous. And like, I want to make out with you, but I want it to be because we like each other, you know? So I just appreciated the growth arc Willow had this season. It feels like she's taking control. She's standing up for herself, even in the finale when they're like, are you sure you're strong enough to do this whole ritual thing? And she's like, no, I'm dead set on doing it. I'm strong enough. We get Witchy Willow as we wanted. I was really, really happy with what we got from Willow this season.
I absolutely agree, because I think that Willow had a lot of growth. I think that you're right. Season one was very focused on her crush on Xander and not getting the guy. And of course, being a supportive friend for Buffy. And she really got to know herself. And we did get a good evolution, a good arc. We do see in the first couple of episodes, like, it's not like her crush on Xander evaporated. But I think that especially once Xander got with Cordelia and she met Oz, who likes her weirdness and who she is, like, without her having to change, which was really nice. Like, the very first time Willow and Oz saw Willow, she was in that like a big parka. And I was like, what a fucking loser. She's at a Halloween party. She should be slutty. And Oz was like, who's that girl? She's gorgeous. It's like, wow. Like, isn't that what like we all want? Like, we want somebody to match our freak in whatever capacity that may be. And I just love that for Oz and Willow. And I love the scenes where like Willow finds out that Oz is a werewolf and he's like, okay, like, obviously we're not going to be together. And she's like, no, like, I still like you. I'll just have to like bounce once a month. Like, that's okay. And obviously in the Halloween episode, I really love that, like, she got to take control. And like, whether that be like because she was wearing like a Buffy costume essentially, or if like it was an excuse for her to like get that part out of her, it was really cool to see. And then of course I really like her developing friendship with Giles. I think that like she's like a really integral part of the Scoobies in terms of research. Obviously she's a great TA for a replacement for Ms. Calendar, which is still so silly, but it's just like really good to see for her to like come into her own. And like, she's not like the dorky character that like we are made to like laugh at. Like, I've said this multiple times, I'm typically not the person that gravitates towards like the cerebral, brainy, dorky character. Like, I usually gravitate towards the Cordelias, like the snarky ones that, like, you know, that, you know, have a heart. But I love Willow and she's one of my favorites. Like, I really am excited to see her come into her own in seasons to come. And I think it's just going to be better and better. And I think, like, it's her friendship with Buffy and Buffy's friendship with her. It's truly making each other better. It's kind of like that line in Wicked, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. You know that one?
I don't know that one, but yeah.
Oh, it's because when I made you watch Wicked, it was like a really bad slime.
I watched Wicked. Yeah, I've seen Wicked. I know Defying Gravity. That's about the extent of my memory.
You're gonna have to go see Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. Yes, you will. Don't insult me. Why do you have to be so rude? You will be watching it.
Okay. Well, I do agree with you about Willow. I think she had a fantastic season. When we get to the character rankings, I'm just going to warn everybody. It's really difficult because I enjoyed the stories for most of the characters. So even though I've ranked them, think of them as, for the most part, very high. Let's move on to one of the other OG Scoobies, Xander. Xander, I think, had a better season 2 than he did season 1. It wasn't difficult for him for that to be the case. But the majority of that, I think, is because of him and Cordelia's relationship. Yeah. I was very in on Zordy in the very beginning. I was excited about, like, the secret romance, the, like, love-hate sort of situation where it's like, I hate you so much, now let's make out. Like, I was very in on this. I like it a little bit less because I find him to be... I don't appreciate that he treats Cordelia like a second option because Buffy is unavailable. I feel like he talks about it in that way a lot. And even if that is like a defense mechanism, or he deep down has feelings for Cordelia and he's just like saying these things, I still don't like that. I feel like it's rude to Cordelia, who is way out of his league. Let's be real. Like, Cordelia is incredible. We'll talk about her in a second. But yeah, Xander, I still never really care for him. He has his moments, I'll give him that. But I feel like every time I'm a little bit higher on Xander, he does something that, like, pisses me off, and then I'm back down on him again. So I don't know. He had a better season 2 than he did a season 1, and I really did enjoy the romance between him and Cordelia, especially because it finally kind of backed away from the, like, he's pining after Buffy again. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he handled the stuff with Willow that well. But I don't know. He's there. I'm going to have to put up with him. Like, it's fine. I'm never going to be very high on Xander. I will say, like, again, season 2 better than season 1, but it wasn't difficult.
I actually think I've made more moves towards liking Xander than you. Obviously, like, I started at a different spot than you. Like, I never, like, super liked him, but I wasn't intolerant of him. I think, like, I first started understanding, like, the Xander humor, or, like, how we can use Xander to create, like, levity, not only last season, but, like, really, like, starting with, like, Inca Mummy Girl. Like, I really did like him in that episode. Like, I thought him and the relationship with the Peruvian exchange student was, like, really cute. Like, I really liked how, like, she laughed at his jokes because, like, she found him funny. And I think that, like, there's probably plenty of people, especially back when people were watching them, that found him funny. And I thought that once he got taken over by the, like, military guy in once again the Halloween episode, which I guess, like, really did impact me a lot because I'm calling back to it a lot. Like, I feel like he had more of a purpose within the Scoobies. Like, I really liked the scene. I forget which episode it was, but, like, they were sneaking in somewhere and he was
the military base, right?
Yeah, seriously, I have all this, like, military memory because of, like, when I got taken over. Like,
and that was, the judge episode because they used the rocket launcher on the judge. Yeah.
Well, that was incredibly helpful because, like, you know, they snuck into the military base. He was able to take command. Like, I really liked, and like Cordelia was like impressed by that. But I totally agree with you that like Xander's stock skyrocketed because of Cordelia. Like, he got like the Cordelia bump because of that relationship. And funnily enough, I think that we kind of switched because I think I was lower on the Cordelia Xander relationship in the beginning. And then as it progressed, I got more and more interested in it because at first I was like, well, I don't know what we're doing here, like whatever. But then like I really liked, I loved the moment. And I guess we can probably just transition to Cordelia next because this is very relevant. But when Cordelia makes the decision to date Xander and be with Xander because she likes him and forego any like popularity, I thought that that was really, really great, especially for Cordelia. It was a great character moment. And like, I thought it was like, it was cute because like, obviously Xander didn't see that coming. Like, he was like, I'm just like a secret. And I do believe that there, like, I obviously do not think that they are the long haul by any means. Like, I think that by next season they probably will be broken up, but I really liked these Xander and Cordelia moments throughout. And I think that he was definitely more integral, and like, he also did a lot of the night watches with Buffy, and like really was able to, like, he like killed some vampires, he fought some stuff off, he was like there as like support for Buffy. So like, I think that like, in terms of like, if we're seeing Willow as like the back lines, like the research department, Xander's the front lines, like with Buffy. Like, he's going up and fighting with Buffy, of course not as successfully because she's the slayer, she is the one and only, especially now that Kendra's gone. But I think that like, he's needed and he's important. And yeah, he makes like inappropriate jokes and he's kind of annoying and he's like always thirsting after girls. But I also kind of think that that is a product of like, I am terrified of teenage boys. I hate teenage boys. They horrify me. And we are dealing with a teenage boy.
Yeah, I will give him the credit of like, he is there for Buffy when she needs someone to go on these night watches with her, and when she's in the hospital. Like, there are a lot of moments that he does show up for her.
He fucks up a lot though.
He does.
Like, yeah. I some of the things I've learned in the last week was like really like, and I missed it in Becoming 1 and 2 of like, it was literally a deliberate thing that he told Buffy that Willow said, go get him. I don't think that really like settled into my head last time. I know that you had said it, and maybe I needed like 30 other people being like, it was intentional. Like, he, you know,
he wants Angel dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's fucked. Like, that is fucked. Like, I think
that's
that,
her. Like, yeah. It's just, he's being dishonest to Buffy. And like, I feel like you give Buffy all of the information and let her make that decision.
I do agree with that. And I think that that is, if that is something that Buffy finds unforgivable, I would understand that, because I feel like that was dishonest. I think that could have affected her decision. I also have understanding more now that like, the portal to hell or whatever needed to be closed with Angel's blood. So, and Buffy knew that from the Watcher. No, not the Watcher. The Watcher?
The demon guy, the Whistler.
Whistler, thank you. So she, which I swear to gosh, I watched Becoming 1 and 2. It's just the lore.
No, it's a lot. There's a lot happening, and a lot of the people that listen to the podcast, like, thankfully have seen the show a lot, and so they understand the lore better than we do and are able to clarify for us, which I really appreciate how many people are like explaining in layman's terms exactly what's going on, so we understand it too. Yes. Kindly, oh, everyone is so kind.
You stupid whores.
Like, yeah, shout out to Todd and Mars Bars and everyone who was like this is the reason, and it's because it was angel's blood used to open, so it needed angel's blood to close it, which is why Buffy had to kill him.
Right.
But again,
so my point to that is, and then you can continue, the result was going to be the same no matter what, especially with like Buffy's knowledge that now the portal was open. Maybe if the portal didn't open, then she didn't have to kill him. But now that the portal was open, unless it's like, it's either she keeps him alive or the entire world ends. So it's like
they all get sucked into hell. Yeah.
So he had to go. And like, that sucks. Like it really, really does, especially because it's essentially at her hand. Mm-hmm. Although I feel like everybody else would have died. I don't really know. If we all get sucked into hell, do we just chill in hell? I'm not quite sure. Jews don't even believe in hell. So I don't even know if like my girl, I don't even know if Willow would be like, you know what? This is low stakes because Jews don't do hell. But you know.
For you guys, it's like, who cares? Suck me into hell. I don't give a shit.
Like, there's like a limbo type thing. But, you know, we'd be chilling, you know. Yeah. It's eternally damned, yes. But
thriving. You know,
it's a lot less humid for us. We've already spent so many times, so many years in the desert. Like, you know,
they're ready for it. Yeah,
they gave us like a little favor.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think that, so I don't know. Like, I think I needed some time to like chew on it because it was just so much, and I feel as though like it just stinks. Like, it's going to affect Buffy. I think like if she decides to not forgive Xander, and I would understand, but that's a future Sarah and Jess's problem.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You want to talk about Giles or do you want to talk about Cordelia?
No, let's talk about Cordelia because I feel like it's a natural segue from Xander to Cordelia. I loved this season for Cordelia. This was a coming out party for Cordelia. You know, like she really, I think it was in What's My Line is when her and Xander first kind of get together. But even before that, I was all in on her because of just she brings snark and sass, but she is still a very like loyal person. She's there constantly. Even if she's going to bitch about being there, she's still there. And I feel like she brings an essential skill that pretty much none of the other Scoobies have, or like, I suppose Buffy kind of has it, but not in Sunny. What is it? Sunnydale? Why can I not remember the name of the town? On Hellmouth. Cordelia has the popularity and the clout, and she's able to talk herself in and out of situations more than any other Scooby. And I feel like that is essential to have. She has like, she questions things in a way that I think the others don't. Like Willow has stars in her eyes for Giles. And I'm not meaning like romantically. I just mean like she appreciates him and looks up to him in a way that, you know, Cordelia doesn't. Xander is Xandering. Cordelia questions things. She's not just going to always just go with the flow. She's going to ask, why are we doing this? You know? And I really appreciate that about Cordelia. I feel like she really, really thrived this season. As much as it bothered me in Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, that, you know, she didn't know the entire picture of what Xander was up to with that love spell when she ditched her popularity for him. that was still a massive moment for Cordelia. Like, that was still a huge moment for her in terms of her character and what she's valuing. So I loved that for her. And I think the fact that even being with Xander hasn't dulled her, like, sparkle, hasn't dulled her snark, is also massive, Sarah, because I can think of so many other, like, 90s shows or shows in general, teen dramas, where as soon as you put the very fun, you know, like, sassy, snarky character with a guy or with a partner, they lose that aspect of themselves. And I love that that did not happen to Cordelia. She is still herself. She is still going to give everyone shit. And an underrated moment for Cordelia, for me personally, is when she is off to do research with Giles and she's just like asking him all these questions and he's getting so annoyed. Like, that's what I want to see more of. I want to see more of like Cordelia being curious and asking questions. And because I just felt like, she is smart. She can handle this. Like, she's great. So huge, huge, huge season for Cordelia, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I really do like when Cordelia is curious. And I do also like that she doesn't take everything at face value. Like, she asks the question of why. And I think that oftentimes it's really important to ask why and have an understanding of why you do things instead of like blindly agreeing. Now, I'm not that I'm saying like Willow or Xander do. It's just that she just wants. It's so interesting because it's like I've seen this actress, Charisma Carpenter, in a big handful of things now. I've seen her in Veronica Mars. I've seen her in my favorite show, Greek. I've obviously seen her here. I've seen her all over. And it's like, it's kind of like the age-old saying, like, what came first, like the chicken or the egg? Like, was Charisma Carpenter like destined to be as charismatic as she is because her name is literally Charisma? Like, it's kind of like when you name your kid Blaze and he turns out to be an asshole. Like, it's just it's just like so good. She's just so good. And she, the way that she creates a character is just like so endearing. And like, I mean, understand that like we start off the season with her still hating the Scoobies, like still like she starts off, we see in the first episode, like when she was bad, she literally says to Buffy like, hey, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you and I don't really like you, but don't be a bitch. And then she says something about spanking her in her Moppet. And like, I just like was like, okay, whatever that means. But so like, she doesn't even like them. And then it kind of goes like, it's kind of like how I started liking Taylor Swift. I first ironically liked Taylor Swift. And then I unironically liked Taylor Swift. And now I am sitting watching the VMAs as a 35-year-old woman waiting for Taylor Swift to come onto my TV. So it's kind of like that. Like, she shows up, she's like, you know, I'm just going to hang out with these losers sometimes and just like, just, you know, grace them with my presence. And then she like, actually, I really like them. And the scenes where like she and Willow are talking, the two most unlikely duo, and they're like relating on guys. And like,
I loved that. Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's just so good. And, of course, like my favorite episode, spoilers for later, Go Fish. Like, I loved the moment when she said to Xander, she was like sitting at the edge of the pool and she's like, Xander, like I'll love you. Like, we, you know, but if you want to see other fish in the sea, I totally understand. Or I can take care of you. I'll bring you bath toys. Like, it was just so freaking endearing. And she was pivotal, like a lot of the season, she was pivotal, like a pivotal member. You're right. She has the charisma and the persuasion,
skills, nerve and talent. Yes.
That a lot of the other Scoobies don't have. I just think that she is like really outstanding. Like, she is the levity and the comedy that I would rather see over Xander's levity and comedy. It's just like a fact of life. And I mean, this show in general is just for the girls. It's just for the girlies, because even as we are about to talk about some of the villains, like, number one villain that we have seen, of course, will always be Drew. Even next to Spike, And I thought coming into this, Spike was going to be the star of the show. Fuck Spike. I don't care about that bitch.
No,
I
yeah.
care about Drusilla. So it's just like, this show is just so for women empowerment, which we were told about prior. And yeah. like strong female characters, very appreciative to see that, especially after watching a show like Boy Meets World that had one girl in it and we never got storylines about Topanga ever. It's just really, really nice to see. Same thing with, I mean, really, Joey Potter became the star of the show. It should have been called Joey's Creek, but
yeah,
even still, it didn't pass the Bechdel test. It was always surrounding Pacey or Dawson.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is just a show for the girls. I really like it.
Yeah. I totally agree. I love that our favorite characters tend to be the women, and they're the ones who tend to have the power and be the ones who are intelligent and making moves and being bold. Obviously, with the exception of Giles, who we can talk about here. Like, he has a really big season. First of all, we have the whole romance with Jenny ends very tragically. I love that it wasn't just swept under the rug. He really had to come to terms with all of that. And not only that, but if you would have told me that this season we were going to get Giles' backstory, like, astounding. I never would have expected it. And you know what it is? I think a lot of times on these sorts of teen dramas, the parents or the adults are usually just there more in a Joyce capacity, where it's like, I'm just here to remind you have a curfew and to get on your case about shit and to basically be here so that you can lie to me about what you're really up to.
Yeah, and exactly.
I appreciate that Giles is not that character, that he is fully dimensional. We're getting a backstory that seems really cool, that I cannot wait to know more about, and that he is like an integral part of this group. He's not just the adult surrounded by children, you know, like, he's much more of a character than that. And gosh, I really enjoyed it in season one, but I feel like it really was solidified in this season, his relationship with Buffy, like their father daughter, like, you know, back and forth. I love, like, you could tell he really does care about her and he's willing to do almost anything to help her. The moment in, gosh, is it What's My Line? No, School Hard. It's in School Hard where he's about to like sacrifice himself for her. Yeah. Like, Jenny's like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I don't know, but I have to do something. And he knows he can't, I mean, he can fight, but like, there's only so much he can do. He's not a slayer. And he was willing to do that for Buffy. He always goes above and beyond to help Buffy and the other Scoobies. And I adore him for that. I also really appreciate him taking Willow under his wing and kind of teaching her. I feel like he has some moments with almost every single character this season that have been, and like we already talked about the Cordelia moment. So I really love what they're doing with Giles. I cannot wait to know more about this whole Ripper situation. Truly, that is something that I need more of in the future, you know?
Yeah, it's really been a good season for Giles. And like, I know that you were like a little cold on him at first, but like, how can you not love him?
I'm the one who fell asleep when he talked. Definitely. That was me, in case anyone forgot.
I still do that. But no, I kid. Like, I've been hard on Giles because like, I'm usually not a fan of the adults that are in the room, so to speak, because they're boring. And then we have to listen to them like give the kids crap and they're just trying to live their lives. And I'm like, I don't really care. So it's like, it's kind of just like me being like a petulant child. Like, I don't want to listen to you. Like, you're the adult, blah, blah, blah. But no, like, he had a really endearing and great season. Like, say what you will about Miss Calendar. I only say good things about it, but she, like, that was very like heart wrenching to see him lose her and like what that meant for him and his life. And we were like very like enthusiastic. I was like, oh, okay, like he found somebody. He's like not going to just like you know, he has something more than just being a watcher. Like, things are like looking up for him. But no, like he lost her, and that really, really sucked. And then like loved seeing his backstory. And I do think that his relationship with Buffy developed as well. So I really do think it's been all really good things with Giles, and I'm excited mm-hmm. to learn more about him and learn more about what ticks for him. I guess the things that I'm hopeful for is that, I don't know, he's a little mean to Cordelia. He doesn't want her to learn, which I didn't.
He's not patient. Yes, he's a librarian and he works in a school, but that's all just cover for him being a watcher. I don't think he's the most patient teacher. And I feel like he doesn't see Cordelia's value as much as we do currently. But we're only in season two. So I have hope that will grow and evolve. And I think that would be a really fun storyline if it does.
Yeah, I guess that is my hope is that he will be a little bit more patient. It's kind of I don't think that he would give Willow a hard time if she asked a question, some of the questions that Cordelia was asking. But because it's Cordelia, he gives her a hard time. So, I kind of didn't love that. It's not a deal breaker with his character. It's just you should treat them equally. Cordelia's putting in the work.
Yeah, be a little nicer. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see where he goes because we are going to see, I don't know where Buffy's going. Buffy's going somewhere. I'm not privy to where she's going. So I'm very curious. Is he going to feel a lot of responsibility? Is he going to get assigned another, if she disappears and is no longer traceable, because it's not she has an iPhone and we can't find our friend. I'm curious if does that count she's dead? Do we get another?
I don't think so. I think she has to die for them to have a new Slayer would be my guess.
I guess. I really don't know the logistics, but I'm really putting a lot of stakes in that Eliza Dushkadal coming in. And I'm very curious of how that's going to do its thing. So we'll see. We'll see. Giles is good. I've also been reflecting on my hate against Jenny Callender, my unfound hate. And I really think a lot of it is you know how it's when you have somebody and you love to make fun of them and bully them, but when somebody else bullies them, you're or is mean to them, you're fuck you, don't be mean to my person.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I started my beef with Jenny Callender. I think that I would make fun of Giles all the time and be he's so boring and he's such a stick in the mud. And as soon as Jenny broke up with him in the moment where she after she got stolen by the demon, controlled by the demon, and she broke up with him, I was fuck you, Jenny Callender. How dare you? Why would you do that? I think it really is. I didn't realize that I cared about Giles until he got hurt. And then I'm don't hurt my Giles. He's so good for you. And he went to the stupid big
monster
wheel.
Trucks.
Monster truck. Thank you.
Ugh. Big wheel. Big wheel.
Yeah. And then, don't do that. So I think I really think that that's what happened. I think I started getting really pissy when he started to lose her, and I was no, don't hurt Giles, please. Mm-hmm. He's just an innocent librarian.
Yeah, he's doing his best. All right, let's talk about our villains this season, because we have three of them technically. Angel kind of transforms into a villain halfway through the season. So maybe let's start with him. You know, we start the season, him and Buffy are falling in love. They have this whole whatever. They're all schmoopy. It's fine. It's great and dandy. They have sex. He becomes Angelus. And I was obsessed. Mm-hmm. I loved Angelus. He's such a vindictive asshole. He smirks at other people's pain. I love this, the way they did this. I loved everything about it. I feel like it was so smart. I think there was, Angel was so boring and nothing for me personally. Like, if you liked him and Buffy together, more power to you. They just felt very boring. And like, he was very cryptic with his one-liners and he never gave enough information. Him as Angelus, I was here for. I loved Angelus. I thought he was absolutely fascinating. I liked getting a glimpse into what Angel was like before he got a soul, whether it be via flashback or from his actions in the present time. It was incredible. And obviously, when you incorporate in his relationship with Drew, it's even more fascinating. So obviously sucks to like lose him just when he's at his most interesting. But I understand he spun off. He's fine. He's doing okay over there in Angel Land. I thought he was incredible, like a top villain for sure, Angelus.
Yeah, that was certainly a surprise. Like, I think that if I had to guess, like, sure, like eventually Angel would become evil. Like, I really did not know that we were only going to get, it's almost like unbelievable, really, but two seasons of Angel within Buffy, really just like the majority of season two, like Angel as we knew him wasn't there. And of course, like his death, like I just like wasn't really anticipating all of it, like especially because David Boreanaz is such a big name and it's like very like, oh, he's Angel. And I guess like it kind of makes sense because he spins off and has his show and he's known there. And of course, like Buffy is in a seventh season show, not going to have like only one love interest, and that being the first guy she meets in the pilot. Of course that's the case. I just didn't think it was going to be so soon. And I think like thinking back once again, like why I was so sour last week, I was like, maybe I was mad that like I didn't see it coming. Like maybe I was mad that like, you know, that like Buffy as I know it in this ship as I know it is no longer, and like a little like oh man, like I didn't see this coming, like this is like annoying because it was like a surprise that I wasn't expecting. But aside from all of that, it was so interesting. Like I really really liked seeing his flashbacks in Becoming One with the accent and without, like,
yes.
I really wanted his backstory and I really was craving having an understanding of like who he was. Like, of course we heard stories from Giles and from Angel himself and then from Spike and Drew. Like we heard things like from like Darla and Daddy Vamps that he was like the biggest baddest vampire in his heyday, and like we still haven't seen that, and I assume that that's what you're going to see in Angel. I don't know, like can you really do X amount of seasons of Angel and he's just like a like horrible asshole all the time? I'm not quite sure.
Well, but I think he was cured because Willow finished her spell, so no, he's back to the Angel now.
No, but he's dead, love. He's dead.
Well, he got sucked into the hell. I think he's still alive. He's just sucked into hell.
I always Maybe assumed not. That Angel was a prequel, not a epilogue.
Oh, interesting.
But I could be wrong. Like, I really...
This is fascinating. I have no idea.
Yeah, I do not know. But I was under the assumption that it was a prequel.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I don't know. I really don't. So who was like, was he just like tap dancing with the devil down there? And that's like yeah. Six seasons of that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, sure, why not? So I think that it's just like so interesting, right? Like seeing him get to be bad. Like I think that David Boreanaz did such a good job with like specifically vocal, like he had a Angel voice and he had an Angelus voice. Like
yes.
You were able to, when he came back and Becoming Two and was cured from the cure or uncured, I don't know, but
he like, got his soul back. Yeah.
You were able to tell instantly from the tone of his voice, which I think does a lot better. Like I think like a lazier show would like, when he's bad, he has like red eyes. When he's good, he has like normal eyes, like something like that. Like it was so subtle, but that made it so much more powerful. And I know that you weren't a fan of the schmoopiness. I like it. Like, I like a romance. Like, I like how dramatic it was. I like, you know, when a couple has like music together. Like, we're kind of watching a little bit of like season one of Pretty Little Liars right now, because previously on is covering is gets to watch like the full season. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's like very distinct Ezra and Arya music, and yeah. It's just like Buffy. It's like ships in the heyday of television had like cheesy music, and then you play it and you hear the music and you're like, oh, this is the Angel Buffy music. We are fully in. And I really enjoyed it. Like, yes, it was cheesy, yes, it was schmoopy, but it's like, you know, like this is what we're about, like a little bit. But seeing him be bad, like seeing him fuck around with Spike and torment him, oh my God, I knew, I told you. I was like, there is no fucking way that Spike is gonna put up with this bullshit. Like,
no, you're right.
I like knew for a fact that like these three were like not gonna be good for long, because Spike was not gonna put up with this shit that Angel was throwing at him. And he like really truly fucked around and found out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about Drew and Spike. We can kind of talk about them in tandem. Obviously, I think we all agree Drew is the superior person in this duo. But I know a lot of people were like really psyched when we got to Spike and Drew. And to be honest, I was getting frustrated during season two because of how many times we like stopped down and did Monster of the Week. And like, therefore we didn't get Spike and Drew, because I felt like they're the reason. They're the reason season two is great. Like, I want to see more of them. Always I wanted more. But I love their dynamic. I find it fascinating that they flip-flopped, where at first, like, Drew is suffering and she needs Angel's blood to like help her whatever sickness she has, and Spike is kind of the strong one, but she has him wrapped around her finger. And then they flip-flop positions where Drew is the strength, right? She's the one, and she is full-on cuckoo banana pants, like just off her rocker. Yeah. In the and best
she
way
was. I mean, she always was, but
yeah,
it's I mean, I think like those are my favorite Drew moments, when she's just like going off on a tangent about like mm-hmm. something totally random, like the flowers, or like, you know, oh, like I had a dream, it was beautiful. And like, and it's just like, it's so entertaining, because once again, like, the actress just does it so well. And
she's
like
eating every scene, every yeah. scene.
And like, Spike gets fucking pissed off, because honestly, like, I feel as though, like, I love watching because I think it's funny and enjoyable, and like, she acts it so well. But if I had some like Luna Lovegood bitch like over here all the time, like talking about nothingness, I'd be like, shut the fuck up and get to the point, please. So like, I understand like why Spike gets like exasperated with her. But then once again, it's like, I can talk about how she's cuckoo bananas, Spike, but you cannot, you fucker. Do not yell at her. Do not yell at my girl. So like, that's kind of like where that comes from. But I really liked the scenes. I think that like, I did not have so much of an issue with Monster of the Week in between these like Drew and Spike moments. I do think if we only had one season of Drew and Spike, I do think in retrospect, I would have been pissy that we didn't get more of them. But now that I'm like confident we're going to have at least another full season with them, it's like, it's okay. Like, we can spread it out. Like, they are now like bigger bads, right? Like, yeah. They're not, I would be more disappointed if we spent an entire season with them like Daddy Vamps and lost him at the end of the season. And like, I like to have like, you know, little meals instead of like one big meal. So if we can have like a whole nother season or so with them, then I'm fine with that.
I think you're totally right. And we didn't know, right? Like, we weren't sure how much are we going to get from them, you know? And so it always felt like it was like they're feeding us a little bit of like an amuse-bouche, but then like snatching away the entree and giving us another, you know, side freaking salad of Monster of the Week episodes. But I'm so psyched to have them. I'm so incredibly excited that we got the heel turn from Spike that you had predicted, that yes, he's gonna get sick of Angelus's bullshit and he's gonna go to Buffy and be like, let's get rid of this fucking guy. And he does it behind Drew's back. I'm so intrigued to see the fallout from that.
It's not gonna be good, I tell you that much. Free
Drew can hold a grudge. I just know that girl can hold a grudge. So I'm really excited to see what ends up happening with them. But this actually segues us nice into, let's do our villain rankings first, because we have less people. So we have Daddy Vamps. He is the only, you know, villain on the table. I guess we can put in the Anointed one if we want, because
we just know that it's like a throwaway, like that's good.
But
he could be
the bottom then. That's fun, right?
Yeah.
So he's at the bottom. Thankfully, Spike and Drew got rid of him very quickly. So the Anointed one goes at the bottom. So now we need to decide, where are Drew and Spike going? I feel like,
four people. This feels like very...
We agreed we were going to do villain rankings because every season we're going to add more. Yeah. We're going to add Angelus too, of course.
Okay.
So where do we, and this is a joint ranking, so we have to agree on this. I know it's tough, but.
Okay, so obviously I'm going to throw in my hat for Daddy Vamps being the number one.
Obviously.
But in reality, he's kind of down there with the Anointed one.
I agree. As much as we love Daddy Vamps,
in reality, like, is he really a villain? I don't think so.
No, he's a caring father. We've discussed this at length.
Caring father.
I think between Angelus, Spike, and Drew, this is really tough. It's tough to do without knowing where Spike and Drew go eventually, like where their story ends.
I think Spike at this season is down here.
I agree. Spike is at the bottom, above Daddy Vamps, but at the bottom of the trio. That's easy.
Yeah.
Is that I find Angelus to be such an incredible, disgusting villain. He's horrible in the best way, but I think Drew is a more unique character. And so I struggle with who goes to the top.
For me, if this was like who's the most evil rankings, like sure, but like who is my like favorite person to watch on the TV? It's always going to be Drew over Angelus. I'm always going to like see a Drew scene and be like, what is that bitch going to say? And is she going to have a meltdown about the roses? And please, for goodness sake. I'm very tickled red by her.
I agree. We'll put her at the top. So currently our villain rankings is Drew, Angelus, Spike, Daddy Vamps, and the Anointed One at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Let's do our character rankings. I do want to reestablish where we were midway through the season, because we do these at the beginning or at the end of the midway through the season, at the end of the season. Midway through season two, my rankings were Buffy, Cordelia, Drew, Giles, Willow, Spike, Angel, Xander. And that was before Angel became Angelus, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yours were Buffy, Willow, Cordelia, Drew, Angel, Giles, Spike, Xander. So I feel like a lot has changed in my rankings.
Sure. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I still have Buffy at number one. I adore Buffy. It's like it would be really hard for me to like not, you know, I don't know, to not have her number one. It just feels like she had such an incredible season of highs and lows. So I still have her at number one, but instead of Cordelia at number two, I have Drew. I love her. I like you, anytime she was on screen, I was so happy. I always wanted more. I was always thirsting for more Drew. I find her to be so fascinating. I put Angelus third, which is crazy thing to do. And maybe this is just like recency bias in terms of like, I'm not thinking about the beginning half of the season where he was Angel and like all schmoopy with Buffy, but Angelus fed us villainy every week. in the best way. I loved him as a villain. I thought it was so fun and like such a fascinating dynamic to have like your ex-boyfriend literally turn into a monster. So Angela's third. Then I have Cordelia. She's still very high up. I think she lost a little bit of points with me with the whole Xander nonsense, but like still love her, still high up. Then I have Giles. Then this is where it gets a little bit complicated. I put Spike above Willow, but it's really tough for me. They're about the same, I think. Maybe Willow, I'm going to move Willow above Spike because she gets the Woz bump. I loved Woz. So I think she goes there, then Spike. And then of course, let's go down 17 flights of stairs and there's Xander at the bottom. Like just know that there's a very, very, very large gap between Spike and Xander. And those are my updated rankings.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I think like I've like totally shifted a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. I am going to put, I'm going to say Cordelia is my favorite character at the moment. Like, wow. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed her this season. I thought that she was really like compelling. I thought that she was really funny when we needed levity. Like, I think that, obviously she has like the best clothes. Like I think that the Xander stuff like helped like mutually bumped each other up for me. And like I think like in the halfway point of the season, I just felt like I wasn't getting like a lot from her. And I feel like I really like I was fed. Then I'm going to put Drew once again. I just gravitated towards everything that she was doing. She was like a really fun villain, like a really fun person to watch. I liked when she was like weaker and she like played with dolls and she's like, oh, look at the bed. I love that she's like a Shih Tzu mom, just like me.
But she did want to eat the Shih Tzu, just so we're clear.
Like, it's kind of like one of those things like, oh my God, you're so cute. I just want to eat you.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we could look at it that way. Why not?
Yeah, sure. So she's a Shih Tzu mom, just like me. Then I have Buffy. Buffy's amazing. I have Willow like very close to Buffy in that. Like I kind of like switched them back and forth a little bit. I think Willow's a great character. I really like her. I think that she's only going to get better and more compelling and more interesting. I have Angel. He goes down. Like he's up because of Angelus and he goes down because he's a little boring at times. But and then I have Spike because he's mean to my girl Drew at times, but I think next season I'm really going to like him, maybe. And then I have Giles and then I have Xander. And those like, don't really change. Like it's I think like my top rankings like shifted a little bit, but like my bottom ones are bottom. And I think like – and it's really like I do like Giles. Like I like him. I don't find him as boring. Like I think he's really interesting. He's just like – not for me, babe. Not for me.
Yeah.
He was not written for SJ Ferguson. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what you mean. He's just not your cup of tea, and that's fine. You appreciate him, which is all we need. Let's give out our MVPs for the season. I am giving mine to Drew. Mm. She is the standout of the season, in my opinion. Yeah. I think – I could, again, if we had gotten Angelus all season long, there's a chance he would have made MVP for me, but he's brought down by the angel of it all in the first half. So Drew from start to finish, compelling, interesting, fascinating, like 10 out of 10 MVP for me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Drew too. I almost wanted to give it to Cordelia, but I think that this is just Drew's season. Like I think that when people think of season two, I do think they think of Drew and Spike. And I think that, like, she's, like, a really big part of how I'm going to remember this season. Mm-hmm. So I think I agree with you. I think Drew. But, like, Cordelia definitely gets some points for me. I think that she had a really great season as well. A lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. Who is your LVP of the season?
Oh, Jenny Calendar, of course.
Because she died?
Yeah, she was useless.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely useless. Yeah. don't know. I mean, that's my LVP, that Jenny Calendar.
Oh my gosh. Mine is Xander, obviously.
Everyone's going to be so mad at me.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Mine is Xander, for reasons I've already stated ad nauseum because he's awful. Let's talk about our least favorite episode. I feel like you and I are probably going to agree on this one. Bad Eggs is literally the worst.
Yeah, fuck you, Bad Eggs. I hate you.
It was awful. Like, it meant nothing. It was gross. It had no bearing on anything. It was just a waste of everyone's time.
I also didn't really like Some Assembly Required. I thought that that was kind of a waste of my life as
I listed Killed by Death as well because it felt like we already did this story. Why are we doing this again?
Yeah, I agree.
I did list that one.
I agree. I also didn't really like that episode at all.
Yeah. Now we know Sarah's favorite episode.
Oh yeah. I mean, without a doubt, it's Go Fish. Like,
obviously
Go Fish is really great because in a moment where like things could get really, really dark and bad, we get Go Fish and we get to just like romp around and have a good time. And we got our jokes. Like, we needed that levity. Go Fish is really good. But besides Go Fish, because I mean, like, even though I would put that as the number one episode, we have to talk about some other ones. And there's a lot that like we refer back to. So in particular, I think When She Was Bad was a really good season opening. I also think that Halloween has really like stuck in my head as like a really great episode. I also think... what else
I have Passion as like my number one. Passion. But they're like all the ones that I'm listing here are really hard for me to like put one above the other, but like Passion, Becoming Parts 1 and 2, the finale, and Halloween. I agree with you. Halloween is a very fun standalone episode, whereas like Becoming and Passion are much more like heavier season-long story arc resolution sort of stuff, whereas Halloween is like a very fun, like you could kind of throw it on, like I could see, okay, you're coming around October 31st, throw on Halloween, you know what I mean? You don't need to like be in the middle of rewatching the whole season to like that episode.
I think we also enjoyed Innocence. Is that when we found out that
that's when she loses her virginity, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then, like, meeting What's My Line? Like, we haven't mentioned that much this episode. But, like, that's when we meet. There's, like, the three people that are coming to attack. And we meet Kendra. And, like, I think that, like, meeting Kendra, finding out that there's, like, another Slayer. Like, Buffy's supposed to be the only one. But there's, like, an anomaly. Like, there is, like, a glitch in the Matrix. And there's Kendra. And I thought it was really, really interesting seeing another Slayer from a different part of the world, how she grew up, how it's different from Buffy, how she trained, and like how she takes her job, like how she views her job differently than Buffy. And like, obviously Kendra did not want to die, but like, I feel as though like Kendra was like, this is my job. This is my destiny. I'm here to stop vampires. And like, my life is less important than like the greater good. And I think like, it's just like such like a interesting juxtaposition to how like Buffy views her job as the Slayer. And I think that it's like really interesting to see like two people that were given the same fate essentially, and how, and truly part of it has to do with their upbringings, like, and how like a Californian American would react to it, to then like somebody who is brought up in a less affluent setting, and like how they view responsibility. So I just find that extremely interesting in like a sociological perspective as well. And like, it makes me excited and hopeful that we'll see different Slayers in the future. Yeah. And seeing like that continuation of like, how do other people like understand this and like wrap their heads around it? Cause it is really hard to understand. Like, I really loved seeing the flashback of Buffy In Becoming Part One, seeing her find out from whomever, Merrick, fake Merrick. And it's just like interesting, you know? So I think like that was really good. And it was really like something that like we, you and I had been questioning a lot because we didn't understand like how any, we still don't understand.
No, I mean, we're still learning the world and like the world building. And I appreciated getting that context of like Buffy is supposed to be the only Slayer, but there, like you said, there was a glitch and now there's a second, and that leaves the door open for more in the future, in my opinion. And anytime we get greater implications in terms of, okay, we know there's like some school with invisible kids going to it, and we know that the principal knows what's going on more than he's letting on, and I always appreciate those details because I want to know what the larger implications for this world are. And so having Kendra come in and also just offer a different perspective felt important because there is literally no one else who understands what Buffy is going through besides Kendra. And I think she kind of needed that connection. So yeah, I totally agree. I'm hoping that we get more stuff like that in the future as well. But let's talk about our predictions that we made at the end of season one for season two. So I don't remember any of this, so this will be fun. Sarah, you predicted new talents from other Scoobies in the supernatural persuasion. I mean, yeah. I'd say Willow got witchy.
Yeah. I mean, like, I also, like, kind of, like, fundamentally have issue with, like, how people become witches in this show because it seems like anybody can, like, pick up a potion and, mm-hmm. like, I'm a witch.
They study for it.
I kind of like prefer the, oh, this is very much like in Dungeons and Dragons. Like, are you a wizard or a warlock or sorcerer? Like, I like basically these people, like anybody can be.
You're not into like the nerdy wizard learns how to be a wizard. No, you wanted to be like born with it or have to make some sort of pact to get it.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess it's fine because, like, anybody can be a witch in this fucking show. And I kind of just wish that, like, Willow had it, like, within her the whole time. Like, kind of like how that, like, blonde girl with the crazy cheerleader mom. Like, yes. They seem like they were born with it. But Willow is on the Maybelline.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent. Like, I liked that Willow got powers, but I think it would have been fun if they revealed that, like, she did have them all along and it was just, I don't know. I guess I'm of two minds. Like, I like that she was able to study and learn it. I think that's interesting. I would like to see some more things, though, where it's like they just discover they have something. That would be fun.
Oz just, like, happened to be a werewolf.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there because that, spoiler for my predictions. Right. You also predicted actual concrete romantic stuff with Buffy and Angel. Ding, ding, ding.
What does that even mean?
That, like, because it was always a, like, oh, they kissed once and then nothing happened. I think you were like, they're actually going to do something.
Oh, yeah. They love each other. They fell in love this season.
Yeah. Xander will die. Unfortunately, that was incorrect.
That was like a hopeful, like, oh, maybe he'll die. Yeah.
You say new main character that will have powers.
I would say sure. Kendra. We got Kendra.
You're the main character, but she's a character.
Jenny Calendar. Well, she wasn't new, but Oz, I would say kinda.
Buffy will take a few episodes to bounce back in season two.
It was one, but it wasn't, yeah. It was not. And I think like the implications of what happened in season one kind of led her a little bit. So
you also predicted evil Buffy, aka anti-Buffy.
I don't really think that we saw
that. Sad Buffy. We didn't get bad Buffy.
Yeah.
Or mad Buffy. Those were your predictions. My predictions, a very brief Xander Buffy thing that I will hate. Thankfully, that did not happen.
Not yet.
Not yet. Willow gets a boyfriend. Yes. That ends up being a monster. Mm. I mean, that's kind of a crazy.
That's on the nose. That's on the nose, girl.
And I wrote again because of the computer monster. That's really funny. I don't think I was expecting that sort of monster, but that is kind of funny. Angel will continue to be pretty cryptic, but we will get at least one episode dedicated to his backstory. Oh, we did. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Giles and Miss Callender do it in the stacks.
They do it. I don't know if they were in the stacks because Giles has a lot of respect for his books.
He really does. He needs to get over that though, because he needs to go do it in the stacks. Mm-hmm. Strong, badass female villain. Yeah, Drew.
Oh yeah, Drew. Yeah.
Woo, that's fun. I didn't know anything about Drew going into this. And then my last prediction was in all caps, werewolves.
Yeah. Werewolf. Let's be clear.
Werewolf. Yeah, just one.
So yeah, so I guess it's wrong. Sorry. Yeah, sorry about it.
That's really wrong.
Sorry about it.
Yep. So those were our predictions. Honestly, we got more on the nose than I would have expected. You know,
we're geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm ready to make some predictions for season three. Okay. I haven't thought these very, they're not very
thorough. So you're going to list all of my predictions I've already mentioned. Is that the game?
Yes, I'm going into your brain right now, pulling out all the predictions, and then I'm going to put them on the page.
Okay.
Emo Buffy for a few episodes. Mm-hmm. I think we're bound to get emo Buffy. Halfway through the season, Buffy gets a new love interest.
Okay.
Waz has sex.
Oh, okay.
Joyce is nearly killed.
Sure.
I just want it to happen. Ripper backstory. Okay. That would be fun. I think that when we come back in the first episode, it's going to be like a few months later. I don't think it's going to be like the day after. And okay. I also am predicting, and this might be my spiciest take, or maybe it's the least spicy take. I can't tell. We're going to have some sort of Spike and Buffy ship.
Yeah.
I could see it. There's chemistry there.
Because I said it last week.
Didn't I say it too?
No.
I don't remember now. Mm. Either way, there was chemistry and I noticed the chemistry. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm putting that down.
Yeah. Buffy only has eyes for werewolves. Sorry.
Not werewolves. Vampires,
whatever. Same difference. Same difference. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we are going to meet a new Slayer.
Okay.
I know Eliza Dushku is coming next season. My prediction is Eliza Dushku is the new Slayer.
Okay.
That is, and I'm really excited for her because she's really cool and badass. So that's number one.
Okay.
I think that Drew's going to be upset. Like, Drew's going to be really, really upset. And I think that that's going to cause a rift between them. And I think, like, they will no longer be Drew and Spike by the end of the season.
Okay.
Which opens up the opportunity for Buffy to, like, come slither in.
Okay.
And I think that, like, Spike is – I really like the fact that Spike is, like, I like this world. Like, I don't want the world to end. Like, I just want to, like, fuck around and kill a little. Like, I think that, he is convertible to come onto the Scooby side. Like,
I can see that.
I think he's malleable enough. Like, I think that maybe, like, Drew is going to get, like, really, really big, bad, like, really evil. Like, she has to get stopped. And, like, maybe, like, he has to go to the Scoobies and be like, okay, like, I kind of made a monster. Like, I have a little bit of a mess. Like, who can help me clean this up? Mm-hmm. Something like that. I think that Buffy is going to like ice out Xander when she finds out. Like, I think that Xander's like cut out. And I think like they're going to have like big issue. I think that Halloween store man will come back and we'll definitely learn more about Ethan. We'll definitely hear more about the Ripper. What else? I don't think that Buffy's ever going to go back to high school. I think we're going to have like a GED queen.
Okay. GED queen.
Yeah. And then I think that we're going to see I think like Willow is going to be like full witch. Like, I think that now that she's gotten the witch bug, she's going to be like casting spells all the damn time.
Okay. Willow is a full-blown witch.
Yeah. And Cordelia and Xander break up like within the first quarter of the season.
Okay. I forgot to make a prediction about Cordelia, so I am going to put down that Cordelia is going to get some sort of special powers. Mm. I think that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe like powers of persuasion or something. That could be cool. Mm-hmm. I also want to put down, because I predicted werewolves last season, I feel like I want to predict another like supernatural sort of being.
Tell me.
I think that would be fun. I'm just like, I'm torn on what it should be. Like, have we had zombies?
Kind of.
So it feels like old.
How about ghosts? Yeah, like, well, we've kind of had ghosts. I was thinking like poltergeist, like a fuckery ghost.
Oh, that could be fun. Okay. I'm going to write ghosts. Let's see if ghosts happen. You never know. Let's do that. I like this. I love these predictions. We'll see if any of them come true. I'm super, super jazzed that once we're done with this podcast, I can watch the season 3 premiere, because it's been weeks, man. It's been weeks since I've been seeing a new episode of Buffy. So I'm pumped. That's what we have. Do you want to know the episode title for the premiere?
Yeah.
This is interesting, and I have a theory about it. The name of it is Anne. A-N-N-E.
Oh, yeah. Anne.
Do we think that's like Buffy is like undercover or something? Not undercover, but like.
Okay. We literally talked about this last time.
Wait, we talked about the episode title last time? Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. Okay. Well, we're doing it again.
This is literally what we talked about last time.
Did you say that, or did I say that last time?
I don't know. I don't want to take credit, okay. But you know I'm going to say
it. I mean, you probably did say it, but you just always know that I never remember. So
it's like talking to that fucking Dory fish. And then, like, Dory spits back and, like, here's my big, great idea. And I'm just like, I just sit here. I'm just like, what the fuck? It's like, okay.
You know. Well, that's season 2. We'll be back next week with season 3. In the meantime, go listen to us. Do everything else. We're talking about Felicity. Sarah's over on Whirlwind Podcasts. I'm on Talking Shit, where we're also wrapping up season 2. I recently have guested on Crying Laughing, talking about Abbott Elementary and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So go listen to those if that's your thing. Anything else, Sarah, before we get on out of here?
No.
All righty. Until next week, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.